Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording this late on a Saturday night after the Kings gave up 143 points.
They did.
Not like double OT. It wasn't a double OT game, was it?
Nope. That was.
Oh, it was triple OT.
Nope. Regulation.
That was a regulation. 143 points to the Knicks. They lose 143 to 120. Kings now with back to back losses. And then a turnaround in Brooklyn on Monday night against a Nets team that's lost 7 in a row and 11 of their last 12. A lot of questions looming about Sacramento is now they're in a little bit of a funk here. Back to back losses. More questions are about De'Aaron Fox and questions about what the hell we witnessed tonight. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
I'm fine. I am fine with this game. The Knicks are a good team. There's a lot of things the Kings need to clean up, but there was also like little things I liked.
Well, let's get into it.
The little things I liked first?
No, absolutely not.
Why not?
Getting to the little things you like to lead a loss. You lost by 23 because you gave up 143. We're not leading with the little things. That's what you save the little things you like for the end.
You usually do, but I mean, at the same time.
How about this? One little thing you liked, and then we move on.
Okay. Malik Monk in the second quarter.
I'll give you that.
Thank you. You know,
that was fun. Like, 18 points?
Yes. And it was fun in that second quarter. It was a comeback. I know we get to slow start. They shouldn't have been there in the first place. But at the same time, I was like, well, if you're going to give me a Saturday night game at Madison Square Garden, it's like, that was fun.
Great moment.
Okay.
Fun moment. Got the Kings back into
it. And back to the shithole.
It was 72-67 at the half after you were down. You know, 38-25 after one. You got back in the game after being down big. That was great. And then it fell apart, especially in that fourth quarter. Morgan, I can't help but look at a game like tonight and a game like they had against the Nuggets and go, see? This is what we talk about with this team when we talk about their flaws. This team's good enough to, like, win games and be talented. And when they won the 7 games in a row, you saw the best of them. I felt like that was the best version of the Sacramento Kings. And when you're winning all the time, it never feels like you're going to lose again. And then when you're losing all the time, it never feels like you're going to win again, right? And there's no doubt when you look at the Kings starting line, oh, Monk, Fox, Sabonis, Keegan, DeRozan. Got some good names there. But then you see teams that like have like legit size, right?
Yeah.
Star power, and you go, oh, there's like levels to this game, right? And like the Nuggets, the Knicks, levels above. And if the Kings are going to want to like, one, get in the playoffs and even have a chance to win, this isn't good enough.
For sure.
To compete against some of the best teams in the West. And that's why so many of us have been talking about for how long? Since before the season? Like, hey, you need some more size. And it was no more apparent than tonight. I mean, OG Anunoby was feasting on the Kings. He was beating them down the floor. He was attacking the basket at will, attacking closeouts. The help defense was not there at time, or the help was too small, too small. Carlin's losing his shit down there, huh?
I'm an angry.
Just get him adjusted. He's fine.
Too small.
The Kings just look too small out there.
Yeah.
And then you have DeMar DeRozan like trying to check OG. And I'm just like, okay.
The lack of size it has been exposed the last two games. And
athleticism.
Yeah. But Yes, sure. I mean, you could go to a lot of things in athleticism, strength, size. Like,
yeah.
But I feel like with size, that strength and that athleticism, like there's a lot of times that can come with it, you know, because with size, we're not talking about just bigs, a rim protector, someone to block shots. No, like you're just talking about a bigger wing, someone out there to contest a shot and have 6 more inches. What?
A guy that is big enough and athletic enough on the weak side to come over and help when necessary.
Yes.
When there was a blow by at the rim and you have to contest a shot to make life more challenging. It's just not there, you know, like, and you can beat other teams because it's the NBA regular season. You have offensive talent. There's a lot of talent, but it's not good enough against some of these premier teams. And if you're trying to win, what you're trying to do, right, is get to the next level. Mm-hmm. Then you got to tweak things. And that's why you hear so much about, hey, man, would John Collins be a good fit here? Dude, I look at John Collins right now. I'm like, please.
Yeah.
Give me someone that's like 6'9".
I know.
Who's long and athletic. And so that to me is like number one tonight. And then you're put in situations where you try zone defenses to get the Knicks out of rhythm. And you're trying to see, is this kind of our best way to attack these guys? I thought times he did a good job underneath the basket on Cat. But if you don't get a rebound, well, Josh Hart's going to get it. And Josh Hart got 18 of them tonight.
God.
Josh Hart absolutely destroyed the Sacramento Kings. You look at the offensive rebounds, 17-9. Josh Hart, 20, 18, and 11.
Yeah, and let's go to the rebounding then, because it's not, like we just said, it's not just about size and length. That is purely effort and athleticism. And this is what Josh Hart does to every team. But it's just like, when we saw the other night, the Kings have a game plan against Steph Curry. You have to have a game plan against someone like Josh Hart and putting a body on him every single time that ball goes up.
And that's the thing. There were too many times on the offensive rebounds where there was two defending someone. So he was just weaseling his way in there and ready. No one touching him.
And was that happening also because the zone that they were in? So absolutely. You think about the zone they were in. No one's matching up. No one's being like, I got so-and-so when the ball goes up. Yeah. Because it's like everyone's in a certain area. And with that happening, I felt like OG was crashing those boards. You had, and even, God, OG only had 3 rebounds. But so then his other points were just getting passes and being wide open in the middle. I just thought a lot of them were, like, coming off the rim. But, no, I think he had 1 offensive rebound from that. And then the rest were just, like, the middle was wide open and he was attacking and no one else was seeing it. And then you do go back to the offensive rebounds. And that is where it was so disheartening to see how many times a different jersey, a Knicks jersey, was crashing the boards, getting in there. And Domas, even at times, is getting stretched out, even if they are in man. Cat on Cat, what?
Nothing.
What?
No, go ahead. It was just a little pause. That's all. It was just a little pause.
I knew that's what you're doing.
Okay, just continue.
No.
I wasn't acknowledging it. I just made a face.
And I'm done.
Oh, I'm so immature.
I know. Okay. It's going to come back to you.
17-9 offensive rebound advantage for the Knicks in this one. And yeah, to your point, that means, wait, you forced them to miss that many times.
Yes.
And you didn't get any of those rebounds. Another number that jumped out to me, only 10 more points in the paint. The Knicks had 58 points in the paint. But get this, they had 61 attempts. They were 29 of 61 in the paint. Just goes to show you, they're just getting offensive rebounds and putting them back in. It was just, that was just too easy. So I thought that was a big, Josh Hart was obviously incredible out there. You know, you say that's what he does. Yes, this is the style of game in which he plays, but he doesn't average 18 rebounds a game. He should not be getting 18 rebounds on you.
I mean,
like we have to find a way.
You stop him after 6, or slow him down or something.
And OG is just beating guys down the floor in transition. I'll give the Knicks credit too. Like, I think sometimes people who don't pay attention to them don't realize like how good offensively they've been this year. I think coming into tonight, they're ranked number 2 in offensive rating. And you see with the power that they have in that starting lineup, it's tough to defend, dude. Brunson is a tough cover. You can't put 2 on him. You've got to mix up coverages because then you got Cat. That pick and roll is dangerous. Then you got Mikal Bridges and his ability to knock down a shot, put the ball on the floor. OG's confident enough. And tonight, really confident because he was looking at the matchup going, this is going to be easy.
And it was easy. And you look at Will Z stats earlier in the day, and he had starters points per game. The Kings, 91.3, third in the league. The Knicks, 96, first in the league. And they play their starters the entire game because then you go to the bench points per game. Kings in 28th, Knicks last.
Yeah.
Because their bench does not play. Tibbs is insane. I think he was playing these guys all the way almost until the end of the game. But that's also because that's their style. That's the way he coaches, whatever. But their offense and their weapons and the way that they generate their points, it's scary. And I completely understand that. But we've seen the Kings also play better defense.
Yeah.
More locked in.
I will say that I think they have the capability to play better defense. And there's probably no better example than the Boston Celtics game. Yeah. But I do think the Knicks are different because they do play with like much more force on you. And they're not just like the physical. Celtics have the reputation of, hey, we're just going to jack 53s a night no matter what. Jaylen Brown will attack every once in a while, gets a line, but we're just going to really just launch a shit ton of threes. Well, the Knicks can beat you in a variety of ways on the offensive glass. They're a great rebounding team. They can knock down threes, and then you got a guy like Brunson who's just a bucket. He could score at all three levels. That's a problem. Cat, his ability to stretch the floor. So it's a super dangerous team, and I just think it's an awful matchup for this Kings team. This is not me excusing it either. It's just, they can play better defense, but this Knicks team's also one of the better teams in the East, better teams in the league. They have two all-star starters. But as a fan of this team, I go, yeah, but this is like, get some size and help because like, I don't want to be talking about like, well, you can't win this game. Well, because there's a lot of teams with size and athleticism around the league. And
that's the thing. There's going to be tough matchups because the teams are just good. And even if the Kings were to tweak their roster and give themselves more size, the Knicks are still going to be a better team. Like, they are just a good team right now in this league where they are, what they're doing. But I also think you look at that and how many more matchups you would actually be able to like be more competitive and not have to rely on different aspects of your game, and you could actually rely on like just matching up well because you can size up against these different teams, these different matchups. Yeah, it'd be nice. And it's not magic. Like, you can't just wave a wand and that's what's going to happen and the tweaks are going to be made. Like, there's going to be risks that have to be taken for things like that to happen.
The stretch, we said on this road trip, is going to be fascinating. We're going to learn a lot about this team. They have been playing good basketball, and there's still time for them to like turn this road trip around, right? There's still four games left. I look at the Nets as a very winnable game. The Sixers as a winnable game. Okay, OKC, Minnesota. All right. But can you get three? Can you come back 3-on-3 and be like, okay, let's collect ourselves. And then the trade deadline's coming February 6th. It's crazy. It's like, it's pretty much here. Can the Kings do anything to improve their team and do something that takes them to the next level? But then they have bigger issues going on right now besides a trade deadline, besides the size and length. One of the biggest issues that they're having right now is their point guard, De'Aaron Fox.
Ugh.
De'Aaron Fox today came into this game questionable. We spent like 10 to 15 minutes on last podcast going, I feel like his thumb might be a problem. There's something going on with that hand. Jason Anderson asked Doug about it after the game. Sure enough, the team is listing it as a sprained thumb on his right hand, his non-shooting hand. He's got the pinky issue on the left hand. When we talked about that the other night, I go, it's not ideal to have issues with both of your hands. That's an adjustment no matter what. So tonight he ends up playing 34 minutes, 14 points, 6 of 20 shooting. He was 2 of 6 from downtown. Since he has returned from that injury, those two games he missed after the Memphis game where he fell, the Kings are 4-3. He is averaging 17.4 points on 35% shooting, 29% from three. We should also note he's taking the second most field goal attempts on the team and the most three-point attempts on the team, and only shooting 3.4 free throws a game during that stretch.
There's so many different layers to this.
There is, but I think one of the biggest ones right now is De'Aaron Fox, after the game, was talking to Chris Biederman of the B, who says we can't be making excuses about this. This is not like an injuries thing. He said, well, I had 60 with my hand taped. People can make up the excuse they want. Sometimes you don't play well. I'm just missing shots. That's the way the game goes sometimes. All right, Morgan.
Yeah.
He says that. I'm sorry. Like, all of his stuff is short right now.
Uh-huh.
He injured the other hand. If he's this off right now, well, that's a big concern. But I feel like it's a combination of all the things.
Well, I think, yes. I think he truly believes that. And I believe in what he is saying. That sometimes you do play bad. And I think that is part of it. But I also think you have to look at everything that is factoring in, like whether something's going on in your life. So maybe mentally you're not all there, or maybe something's going on with your hand. So you're not all physically there, right? Like there could be so many different things that are happening. And I think in this case, it's a physical thing. And I think mentally he truly believes, not only because he dropped 60 with his pinky like this, but he truly believes if my leg's not cut off and I can play, then I'm going to play, and I'm going to play to the best of my ability, or what I think is the best of my ability, be that threat out there. And I dig that mentality. And you guys, it's the same thing that he had even during the playoff, the Beam team year during the playoffs, when everyone kept saying like, they're the healthiest team. And he's like, no, we were just playing through broken fingers and all this other bullshit. But like, we were not talking about it because you had to, like when shots were being missed or other things were happening, we were just trying to fight through.
And I admire that part of his game. Absolutely. I admire the fact he wants to be out there. Absolutely. And he's not the first guy in NBA history to play through finger issues.
No.
Okay. So this is not like, oh my God, he's playing with a ruptured Achilles and a torn ACL at
it's
once?
It's not that.
He's crawling around and scoring 55. Like,
how is no one blocking this?
I mean, there's a lot of guys this time of year with tape on their fingers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like it's impacting him more than he's letting on. And this is where I go, okay.
Uh-huh.
What is the harm if you have a sprained like thumb on the right hand?
Okay.
What's the harm in like just go get that healthy so you have at least one good thing going? And maybe you take a break with the left hand, and your left hand, although it's not gonna necessarily get better, it's going to go a couple of weeks without getting hit. And then you can, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend I do rehab and I'm a doctor or anything, but that's just good. Logically, yeah, I could see how you could play through it with adrenaline and all that stuff. But when you're getting hit, and that's what happened, Jokic hit him a couple of times.
Well,
it impacted him.
And I think when he says, like, I had 60 with my hand taped up, how many weeks has it been since he dropped 60? My point is, the amount of more times that that hand has been hit or used or whatever, even if they have the resources with treatment, cortisone shots, whatever, it's still, there's going to be a time when it just kind of takes more of an impact than it was before. And that is where I feel like we're at, with a combination, with a little mixture of him saying what it is and just playing a little shitty too.
Which is not something we haven't seen before. Like how many, every year we go, oh, here comes Fox with like, he's been bad for 3 weeks now. And we've said for a long time, God, can he trim that to like, just be, hey, have your like bad week and a half.
Bad 3 games.
But it turns out like he gets nicked up and then he really goes downhill for like 3 weeks to a month where you go, God, is everything okay here? And like, look, we can acknowledge that De'Aaron does do some other things out there. But what I'm going to say now, with this theme we've seen since he returned the last 7 games, and especially tonight, you're off right now. Okay. And I know you want to be on.
Yeah.
I know you want to knock down shots. You got to change your approach to the game. You have 2 bad hands right now. You don't need to be taking the second most shot attempts on the team right now. Mm-hmm. And like tonight, Monk took 21 shots. Hell, the way Monk was going early, he probably should have 25 of those shots. And for De'Aaron, I'm not suggesting passing up
open
looks, but like also you're missing a lot right now.
And
I mean,
you're missing. Yeah.
the stuff in the paint.
There we go.
And that's where, like, you talk about guys struggling. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't believe that you're just going through struggles if you're smoking a layup. To me, you're not comfortable with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
You're smoking multiple layups the last couple of games. And what was he in the paint tonight? I mentioned to you earlier.
It was like, was it 2 of 8? 2 of 4?
I love that I'm quizzing you like you're going to remember.
Yeah, me and
numbers. I was more just padding so I can get to it.
No, that's okay.
So De'Aaron Fox in the paint tonight for the Kings
was
2 of 9.
Yeah, I was close.
2 of 9. In the shot chart, you can look at it here. Let me zoom in on this bad boy. I mean, we're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4 around the rim.
I know.
Right in the restricted area. 4.
I know. And that's tough to see, because those that you're seeing are layups that he can make, whether hands in. We've seen him make some tough ass shots at the rim. And that is, it's not even like, oh, that's frustrating. How is he not making those? It's like, no, I think a little bit of the answer is kind of right in front of your face with that.
So I guess my point is, if he's not going to sit out and the team doesn't feel like he needs to sit out and it's something he can play through and there's no point, because let's say, all right, he needs to get surgery on the left hand. Well, he might be out the rest of the season. That's the regular season. Are you comfortable with that? Some would say, why didn't he do it earlier? I don't know. Maybe he didn't feel like he could miss 2 months and his hand was feeling better at that point. He's in a tough spot right now with that. But I guess my point is, if you're going to be out there and playing, then I think you have to adjust your game. Teams are still going to defend him. He can still put pressure on the defense with his pace, which you saw at times tonight when the Kings were playing so fast. But give it up, man. If there's a closeout in you for 3, put the ball on the floor. Let's get it to someone else. I'm not saying take 0 shot attempts.
It's just so hard to have. It's so hard to hear. Here's the thing. I agree with your statement. It is so hard to shift that mindset, because in those moments, adrenaline hits. You're not thinking, I'm hurt. This is going to come off my hand wrong. You're thinking, boom, boom, I'm open, shot, shit. Was it my legs? Was it my hand? Whatever. Get back. Yep. Same shit. Boom, boom, at the rim. Just rolls off differently. Like, it's not like it's a shoulder injury where he's like awkwardly trying to extend his arm. I don't know what the answer is, but Mike Bibby did say something interesting on the pregame show. He said, you know, if it really is that bad, and this is before this game.
Yeah.
And he's like, if it really is that bad, you know, be a leader and just say, guys, I'm hurting the team more than I'm helping the team. And I think there's so much of De'Aaron Fox's game, though, that is so beneficial of him just being on the floor and being, I don't know, just a threat still. On the defensive end, you're still seeing him get back. And on the offensive end, you're seeing him push up the floor, be with the pace, even though they have other guys that can do that too. But my point is, I understood when Mike said that, but I also understood this mindset too of, he's like, well, I am being a leader. I'm out there.
I hear that part of it. But I think part of too, like, being a leader is like being able to recognize certain things.
Reflect. Right? Yeah.
And something that happens on the floor, something with your teammate, but also reflecting on what you're doing out there. And I think there's an adjustment that has to be had. And it's like, all right, I have help on this team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
more than ever.
More than you've ever had in your career. Uh-huh. You had help. Remember 3.5 years ago when they traded for Sabonis? Dude was hugging Sabonis after the first game. That's all he had. He's just like, please come here.
Yeah.
Right? You've got DeMar DeRozan. Yeah. This guy can get buckets. He took 12 shots in this game tonight. He'll see more double teams too, but like, that's great. I want him to recognize those double teams. He's got that turnaround Jay can get to or pass it out. You've got Sabonis. He took 14 shots tonight. Keegan can get more responsibility. Malik Monk can take more responsibility. Yeah. I'm not saying don't take shots, but don't take 20.
The noise would just be so calm and everything would shut up. One, if they didn't drop these 2 games, because we've talked about how many times in some of those bad games for De'Aaron, it was like, well, he had 13 assists and they ended up getting the win, so who cares if he scored 23 points? And that, and also him having another 30-point game on this road trip would quiet down that noise of where he is and who he is right now. if he's not going to do that, well, then people are still going to talk, and it's ultimately going to be his decision on what he wants to do.
And I don't think he's like crushing the Kings offense right now. I mean, they're still able to manufacture like 120 plus points, it seems like, every single game. I think even since he got back, coming in tonight, they're like 123 points per game. They're scoring a lot. That's fine. But you start thinking about these things, like a game against the Knicks, a bad shot or a missed shot. You miss a rebound. They getting out and they're leaking out and running. Well, the Knicks tonight had 21 fast break points. So yeah, a missed shot or a bad shot or an ill-advised shot. Could you get a better shot? That could lead to points on the other end.
Yeah.
That's what it can turn into. So I think if Fox is going to play and he's going to tough it out, which I respect that part of it, if you're doing it for the right reasons, that's awesome. But adjust your game a little bit. It doesn't mean never shoot. You can't be Ben Simmons, all right? Like,
no.
You can't be afraid. But are there other ways? Can you attack and get to the free throw line? I mean, those are things. The last two games, De'Aaron Fox has not had a free throw attempt. Part of that, I think, to be honest, some missed calls for sure, but I think he needs to attack more. He needs to have those opportunities. So those, I think, are some things to watch with De'Aaron. And I've seen some of the feedback in the chat, too, and it's a valid point that people bring up, because we saw it last year with Tyrese Halliburton. The league decided put this thing in where, like, if you want to qualify for these postseason awards, like the All-NBA team or MVP, all those things, you have to play a minimum of 65 games.
Yeah, which I think is still fair.
I mean, it's interesting, though, because then people feel like, okay, are these players playing because they want to play, or are they playing to reach a 65-game mark so they can maybe have a chance to do that? I don't think Fox is doing that, mainly because I would think he could understand that he's not at playing at an All-NBA level this year.
Yeah.
He had maybe a couple of weeks where, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, he did.
When he scored 108 points in two games, you're going All-NBA. But no, he's not playing at an All-NBA level. I don't think there's really anything he can do unless he start averaging, 35 a game the rest of the season the Kings took off to have a chance at being an All-NBA guy. So I just don't think that's it.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. Where like when Tyrese Halliburton's situation was more like he was already there in the running for certain things. So that's why when he was trying to push for those 65 games.
Well, I didn't like is he was pushing through a hamstring thing. And that to me is like, Jesus.
My point is it was so obvious what he was doing. Like they were just like, okay, trying to get him 22 minutes a game so he could, because that's also part of the criteria. Like you have to play a certain amount of minutes per game to be considered for these awards or bonuses. And I look at Fox's situation and I never thought that was what it was with him. I truly believe that like he is a competitor and he gets shit on all the time even all this coaching stuff and how many people are like, he's not happy. It's him. And it's just like, well, you were wrong. And I think that happens a lot with him because he is the franchise player. And what I like about De'Aaron is that he can take all that bullshit over the years. Like he's seen adversity through this Sacramento Kings organization over the years and taking that, he's like, okay. And so now with anyone saying that, I'm sure he doesn't give a shit, but at the same time with everything else and us talking about his game and the hand stuff, I'm sure he still doesn't give a shit and he's going to do what he wants. And there's something I respect about that, but there's also this like basketball side of me that's like, no, reflect a little bit more. Yeah,
I mean, I also, when you were saying that, I was thinking about like the shots he missed tonight, some of the good, I'm looking at just, some of the mid-range shots, right? He missed two right around the free throw line, one on the left free throw line extended. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then one like right inside the free throw circle. So there's four shots right there. Let's just say like, he makes two of those.
Uh-huh.
He's 8 of 20. And let's say he makes two of the shots that out of the four he missed.
We're not talking about this.
Then he's 10 of 20.
We're not talking about this.
My point is, in his mind, he's going, I'm not smoking layups. Like, I'll get comfortable with my right hand. I'm not going to smoke layups. So I'll make those layups. Okay, that gets me 8 of 20. And I'll connect on this little mid-range shots and I'll be fine. That's probably his mentality.
Because he's a competitor.
But I'm just going to say,
what?
I'm going to be more critical when I'm watching him when it comes to like the tough shots. Because right now, you cannot be taking tough shots. The shots you take, you better be getting to your spots, feeling good about it, whether that's, you know, in the mid-range or getting to the rim. It can't be these like three-pointers with 12 seconds on the shot clock where you're going, what? That's like, there's a guy on you. I know you can make him. He made two tonight, but like, you can get better. And this is where we're at. I'm sorry. Like, we are in a spot where the Kings just lost two games in a row. They're in the 10th spot again. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're only one game out of seventh, but this is how fragile it is. So the details, every little thing matters. Taking the best shots possible, it matters. He's not alone, but I think it's more apparent because he's been struggling like this for a minute now, and he's got the injuries. You couple all that together, it's got a lot of fans going, can you sit out for a little bit, please?
I get it. But it's just like whenever people talk about one play, are they going to retire? They should retire. I think it's time to retire. They're the only ones that, one, are going to call a shot on their career, but also they know when it's time.
Yeah.
And sometimes that time doesn't make sense to us, but to them, it's like they have to push through a little bit more. They have to play a little bit more. And I think that's where we are with De'Aaron right now.
Doug Christie said after the game, quote, it's going to click. Not really worried about that, but I know from being in that position, it's hard. But at the same time, there's a bigger responsibility, and he is not ducking it, and I respect the hell out of it. DeRozan said, sometimes when it's your hands, it takes a little second to adjust to the uncomfortability, getting used to dribbling, shooting, doing so many things, but he's been playing with a messed up left hand all year long. Christie also wanted to say, I think more than anything, what we're learning about Fox is his leadership aspect of the responsibility of being one of the faces of the franchise. And when you look at him being dinged up here and there, and he's buckling up and he's getting at it, that's what leadership is about. He can affect the game in a lot of different ways. And I did see, that's the one thing I was watching tonight to see, like, all right, what's he look like defensively? Is he engaged? Dude, he was playing tough. I think he swiped down on OG really hard, which is like, Jesus, you got a bad hand. You're swiping down at the ball. Okay, great. And then I think he came down. I think he hit a three after that.
Oh, yeah.
And then he had another sequence where he had a deflection. And I'm like, that's the type of activity I need to see. So if De'Aaron's playing, this is my conclusion on this. This is how I wrap it up.
Oh.
If De'Aaron's playing, better shot selection is a must. The defensive consistency all the time has to be there and pushing the pace. If you can do those things, I can live with you maybe not being your super efficient self, but you need to take the best shots possible. And no more smoking layups. No more.
It's going to happen at times, but you're right.
Tonight I went, oh my God. I mean.
Well, and he did the other night too.
Yeah.
Against Denver.
Yeah.
And it was like, what? Yeah. You don't do that though. So
that's how fragile it is. And I think as an athlete, okay, let's settle down, Deuce. I'm guessing as an athlete, sometimes the mentality you have to have is how I broke that down, where it's like, yeah, I went 6 of 20. If I make those two shots around the rim, I made a 20. If I hit those two free throw line jumpers,
absolutely,
like I normally do, I'm 10 for 20. And then, you know, Deuce, it's not perfect, but
even you're up to 20 you're points. It's like I said at the beginning of this conversation. If you see some of the shots, is he going to pass some of them up? It's like, probably not though. Like, you believe in yourself. If you have the ability to get in that open space, you believe that you have the ability to shoot it.
Yeah.
And whether it's at the rim and you're missing them, or it's in the mid range and you're missing them, or the 3-point shots that we've seen over this season that have been up and down.
Sabonis added this at the end, talking about Fox playing. Says, quote, we're fighting for something, and he knows we're fighting to turn this thing around for a playoff spot, and he's on the court. We know just by him being on the court, it helps us immensely. He just fights through it. Yeah, and I respect that about Fox, and I thought tonight when he was pushing the pace, it was great. I said defensively, and I think that the thing is, like, okay, let's just say, you know, for those who want him to sit out for a while, you know, the options, I think you would notice a dramatic shift. I really do. You know, I think Devin has been a little up and down as a rookie, and maybe with like a longer leash, he would be fine in that role. But like, De'Aaron changes a lot. I mean, he makes life, Malik Monk makes life easier for him, no doubt. It all works together. Like, Fox makes life easier for him. Like, teams guard him. I mean, there was a situation tonight I was watching, De'Aaron Fox just cutting baseline. Bridges went with him, cleared out, and they were able to get a good look. And it's just
love it.
The threat of him
yep.
just moving the defense around. Defenses aren't necessarily doing that with, like, Devin Carter or, you know, Jordan McLaughlin. Like, it's just not happening. No. So
it's fair.
That's where we're at with the De'Aaron Fox thing.
That's where
I admire him playing through this.
Absolutely.
But
the frustrations
can
be there. The analysis of us breaking down what we would like compared to what he's going to do, it can all be there. But it's like I said, at the end of the day, he's going to do whatever shit he wants. I respect it, even if I don't agree with certain things.
So the Kings gave up 143 points tonight.
They did.
That wasn't because of De'Aaron Fox, right?
Nope.
Well, I mean, he's on the team. He's partly responsible.
Oh, you're right.
But that goes to my larger issue. Like, tonight was more about the defense getting absolutely shredded and why, you know, the Kings have these weaknesses that they do. You see it was on full display. The Knicks had 40 assists on 52 makes tonight.
Dude.
40 assists. 40
assists. The way that they, I mean, they were moving around the basketball, but the thing is, there's too many times, especially how this game started, where it felt like they're getting the ball in the middle of the paint to someone, or there's a backdoor or miscommunication, or a late closeout for Brunson to knock down a three. It's just, there's too many of those moments happening that the Knicks are so good at executing off of anyone's mistakes.
Brunson had 25 points, 11 assists, 9 of 17 shooting, knocked down 4 threes. Bridges, 27, 10 of 15. He was 5 of 7 from downtown. He also had 7 dimes. I mean, that's what's crazy. You had two guys in their starting lineup with 11 assists, and then Bridges had 7. Karl-Anthony Towns had a quiet night for him. 18 points, 15 rebounds, 7 of 18. I will say this. I felt like the Kings battled their asses off with Cat. They're trying to limit him in a big way, but the others cooked.
Well, when Landry Shamet came off the bench in the first quarter and knocked down 7,000 threes, I was just like, this one should not be happening. This man averages.
The first one was okay. The first one, he got an open look, and I was happy. I was like, okay, that came off good offense. The second one, it's Landry Shamet. Anyone who watches the league goes, that guy's only in for one reason. It's like Doug McDermott. He's in for one reason. He's going to shoot threes. Yep. He's going to shoot threes. This guy pulled up in transition and like walked into an open three. And then the last one, the Kings are on a zone defense. And I know it's a zone defense, but I'm also like, I know I'm in a zone, but I'm also like going to worry about the guy who's in the corner, Shamet, and zone defense, bad closeout. He gets an open three. Like, what are you doing?
And there's so many of those bad closeouts, though, you know, and that to me was super frustrating. But but like you're saying, going back to Shamet, it was like, if you know what their role is, there needs to be a sense of urgency and recognition to that player. Josh Hart, he likes to run in for a rebound. Fox oh my God, him dude. The fuck out. Okay, Shamet, this is why he's in there. Go put a hand in his face. Like not denying him, but make sure you're navigating the screen.
What you said earlier was dead on. We know Steph Curry is a great shooter.
Yeah.
And he's going to make shots. But you don't just like let him do it. We know Josh Hart is a great offensive rebounder. Uh-huh. He's done it for, like, he's like, that's his rep. Like, he plays hard. Yes. He plays with force. He's tough. He plays defensive. He runs the floor. He does so many good things. He also is a great offensive rebounder. You know what is not going to help? Not putting a body on him.
Correct.
And so tonight he ends up with 20 points, 18 rebounds, 11 assists. That's
triple
a
double.
That's a Sabonis line
yeah.
from Josh Hart. He was 8 of 14. OG, 33 points, 12 of 18, 33 points. I want to say out of the 33, maybe 6 to 8 were like, oh, they made him work a little bit for that. That was tough. The other ones were just like, dude, I'm more explosive athletic than you. Put the ball on the floor, boom, or I'm in transition. I'm just going to get by you, slither away. I'm going to beat you to the rim. I'm going to get a reap. Like, those are killer.
Well, yeah. Something I thought the Kings did well, if the ball...
I wasn't done.
Proceed.
Second chance points ended up being 25 to 12.
Yep.
Fast break points 21 to 13. That one. To 13, and then 58 points in the paint. So yeah, the second chance points were just brutal.
When the Knicks were making every shot or every second chance point or a fast break point, wherever the points were being provided, the Kings, I loved the way that they were taking the ball out of bounds tonight. They were like, okay, we suck at this. Okay, let's push the shit out of the basketball, right? And that pace tonight, I love, and I loved it so much. And I think it was frustrating to the Knicks where they were trying to touch the basketball, slow things down, find a way to just like...
to breathe.
And they got a delay of game. And I think they ended up getting a second one or whatever happened. You know, Doug was getting livid when they were getting away with some of these things. Just veteran things to try and take that extra breath. But that for the Kings was obviously a place where they could dominate after making a big mistake defensively or in transition defense or wherever else.
Yeah. The Kings were 5 of 10 on fast break opportunities for those 13 points. The Knicks 8 of 11 on those fast break opportunities for 21 points. But yeah, I would say I love that you're sprinkling in some good. I appreciate that because you're right. The Malik Monk second quarter was great.
I really don't care about making anyone feel better or anything. It's like how I watched the game. And I think really quick, how else I'm watching this game is this recognition, or I guess realizing, and I already did know this, that this Kings team still is what it is, even with the coaching change. And just because it's going up, 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 like, it doesn't mean that they were going to have these tough matchups
disappear.
It was going to be hard. And this Knicks team watching them play, and I'm like, damn, you know, where it was just like, they really are good. And even playing their guys, the amount of minutes that they play their guys, all the things. But I think too, with the Kings, when you see those flashes against a team like the Boston Celtics, and you see this good style of basketball consistent throughout the winning streak and everything, you do higher your expectations. And my standards aren't lowered for them. Like, oh, it's okay. Moral victory. No, I just felt good watching this game tonight. Like, oh, I had fun seeing them come back, but it wasn't fun when the Knicks really pulled away, especially in the fourth.
The second quarter was a lot of fun. The Kings scored 42 points in that quarter. Malik had 18 of his 23 points at the half in that second quarter. Malik, by the way, finished with 31 points, 9 assists in this game on 12 of 21 shooting, 4 of 8 from downtown. I think the other thing the Knicks benefit from is just like they definitely get the benefit of the whistle, at least tonight. And I think part of it is just because, to their credit, they've got a reputation. Their reputation is they play hard and physical all the time. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. And I think a lot of refs probably respect that. Hey, they play hard all the time. You know, like, so they get away with shit. You know, they're just like, hey, we'll play hard. We'll bump all the time. They're not going to call it every time.
If you play with a certain identity and a certain tone with your physical play, you're exactly right. Then that's going to, like, but that's going to be your style. What?
Is like when you see the like physicality and then get away with something, and then the Kings and they had a lot of bad fouls.
Like whoever
tonight
took out Devin Carter, I forget who that was. Someone took out. So it was later in the game, and someone took out Devin Carter when this ball went back to him. God, was it OG? It might have been OG. Someone else, let me know if you remember. But it was just like they rammed into him, and there was no call, and it was just like one of those moments, like get up, Rook, get up.
Yeah.
But anyway, go on.
But some of the Kings fouls tonight were just, and they did this last night or a couple nights ago in Denver. When was the Denver game? Two nights ago. These last minute, like, soft fouls.
Yeah.
You're going to score anyway, but let me rub your shoulder while you do it. Dude, if you're going to foul, just fucking foul, dude. I don't want to see and-ones. Why are you looking at me like that? What?
You have, like, food all over your shirt.
I spilled coffee, dude. I didn't realize
it's all over.
Dude, I did a broadcast like this.
You are so embarrassing. You look like...
Hold on, let me just show this. Oh my God, dude.
It looks worse in person.
You can't tell on this lighting.
No, yeah, you can a little bit. Hold on. Yeah. Like, it's... It's and it's in person. It's like darker.
Dude, okay, so I spilled coffee earlier, but it's one of those things in my head. I spilled like a little drop, and I was like, "Oh, it's good." And then you just pointed out. I don't think you could see it.
You can.
Yeah, you're staring at it. I don't think people at home are watching on YouTube going, "Hey, look at the coffee spilling, dudes! What an idiot!"
I don't think they are either.
Yeah, I. You know what? I'm sorry. I didn't notice.
Who are you sorry to?
It's the people. Hector is comparing me to Coach Nick, who always has stuff all over him. Yes. Not noticing. Yeah, this was. Yeah, I was paying homage to Coach Nick. Why not?
I miss Coach Nick, so I spilled all over myself.
I need to know, did anyone in the chat
notice?
Lights in the chat says, that's been a consistent issue. Touch fouls leading the and ones, not fouling enough to stop the bucket. Yes, and some guy, it's one thing with like LeBron, like sometimes it's going to be hard because he could just like power through that contact. But like some of these, like, then don't touch. Don't even, you either foul hard and prevent the and one or don't touch him. Back off.
Yeah.
Because I cannot see and ones. You're just giving them points. Yep. In the chat, the poll question, does Fox need time off? The options, yes or no, play through it. 90% of the votes say yes.
I love, it's so funny. Okay, here's my question, everyone. Against Brooklyn, if you were to drop, like, if you were to have, I was going to say 70-point game. Let's just even say 40-point game.
Here. Do that. Give me a stat line. And just,
okay.
We're going to act like it's after the Nets game, and you're telling me.
Okay.
How about De'Aaron Fox?
Oh, man. What a great win for the Kings tonight against the Nets. De'Aaron Fox, even with his hands where they are, he dropped 45 points, 11 assists, and 6 rebounds.
He did it against the Nets? They've lost 7 in a row. How about you do it against a good team? He doesn't do it against a you did it against a bad team in the East.
Are you doing your Brian Windhorst? Like, what is this?
I'm doing, that's what some fans would say. Oh, nothing's good enough.
I was like, wait, dude.
Wake up.
I thought your reaction was gonna be nice, and I was like, why are you saying this? Yeah, no.
No, it's not gonna be good enough.
I see.
De'Aaron is at the point in his career in Sacramento if he is not consistently like playing at a star level,
okay,
he's going to be criticized, which, by the way, breaking news, that's the business. That's what comes with the territory.
With the money.
You want the big money?
I want the big money.
He wants the big money.
Yeah.
And what comes, there's more eyeballs. And like Malik Monk, you know, Malik Monk could have a 6-for-20 game. And guess what? It's a totally different tune. Why? Because Malik Monk makes $17 million a year. Mm-hmm. And he just re-signed on a deal that you're like, he could have gotten more elsewhere. He plays with like such a joy out there. Like his level, like, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. I'm losing my mind at the moment. Help me out. His popularity. I was going to think, if you took a poll on popularity, I think Malik Monk is by far the most popular Kings player.
Number one selling jersey last season, maybe this season.
Really?
Yeah. For the Kings.
So I didn't know that.
Last season, for sure. Yeah, because I tried getting my brother and it was like,
he is by far the most popular player on the team.
Yep.
It's just different levels. And so, you know, like Fox, like there's expectations that come when you're the max guy and you're the guy. Like that's just all there is to it. So I don't feel bad for that. I mean, I see some of the social media conversations and Reddit conversations and all this, and even our chat and like in Discord too. And I don't love it because I think sometimes it gets to a different spot of like toxicity and like, that I don't love. But in terms of like being critical of what he's doing on the floor, so I'm not like, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
I just, my
if you're
thing,
being fair about it.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say. If you're fair and you're like not being like, oh, this guy is a bum. It's like, I can have a conversation with you. Like, that's all I ask about.
Yeah, dear God, please.
Emiliano says, if the finger and hand is giving him that much problems, then just sit him. The liability is costing them points on both sides of the ball. Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, he's cost him some points with his efficiency offensively. I don't know that. I like tonight, you know, I'm not going, De'Aaron Fox cost him the game. I'm like, well, no, I think the Knicks are just a far superior team, and they have so much size that the Kings have completely lacked. Like, can you get another 6'8", 6'9", athletic guy on the team? I imagine if OG was in Sacramento.
Imagine.
Like, I...
Mind
blown.
Imagine
what that would do for Keegan's game, for opposing defense or offenses, and what it would do for Sabonis. That's what I think about. That's what keeps me up at night. Well, and now I'm like, John Collins, let's go. John Collins. Who else? Cam Johnson. I don't know. All right. We got more of the podcast coming up. We have to look ahead to the Kings' next game coming up Monday against the Nets. Tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. Put the ones up.
Put the ones up.
We're all one with Golden One.
We are all one. And you can join for up to 50% off Kings home games. You get so many different perks if you become a member. You can get 15% off Kings merch at the Kings store. You can get your seats upgraded. I say upgraded, but I just recently saw people upgraded from the second level all the way up to courtside. So
you never know if you hold up that card, you may have a chance.
It's all just by being a member, but that's not all. Obviously, there's so many other great things to starting your financial journey if you are a Golden One Credit Union member.
Yeah, scan that QR code or go to goldenone.com because we are all one with Golden One, the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. You need new windows. There's no better place to go than the experts at Northwest Exteriors. They're celebrating their 30th year, Morgan Reagan.
Yeah, 30th anniversary. So they have a sale going on. You can buy 7 windows and a patio door for a huge discount. If you're like, oh, wait, is this even what I need? Just give them a call today. You can find out so many different options, whether it's with financing and or it's just another deal that they might have going on.
Yeah, go to their website, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
We're also presented tonight by our friends over at Rocket Money.
Oh, Rocket Money, the start of a new year, which means I hope that you are all organized and you all have Rocket Money right now, because I had all my expenses on and budgets on Excel sheets, and now I've moved it all over to Rocket Money, and just life is so much easier.
Yeah, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features.
So cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with rocketmoney.com. Go to rocketmoney.com/game on today. That's rocketmoney.com/game on. rocketmoney.com/game on. Question.
Yes.
Who should be the simply the best player of the game?
Josh Hart.
It's Josh Hart.
Man. Oh, good.
I mean, OG is a good case, but yeah, it's Josh Hart. I mean,
he just provides that spark. He provides so much along his stat line.
First team all dog.
Yep.
20 points, 18 rebounds, 11 assists, 8 of 14 shooting, played 39 minutes, played tough, nasty. Got some easy. He probably goes, God, this was the easiest rebounding game I've ever had in my life.
That's crazy. So mean.
Josh Hart are simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors. Let's get to some questions and comments. Perk Fox says, imagine how many easy points we could get from Monk to John Collins. Oh, I've thought about that a lot. John Collins, a legit lob threat, runs the floor well, athletic, will attack the basket. You know, he's shooting the ball well from three right now.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call him like, oh, he's like a 3-point shooter. Like, I don't know. Think of a really talented big that could shoot. Cat. Like, okay. He's not Cat. I mean, he doesn't take a ton of attempts, but he'd get open threes here, and he could knock them down. At least he is this year and last year to a certain extent.
Absolutely.
Adam says that Monk no-look dish to Sabonis down low was fire. Ooh, oh, ooh. In a crowd?
Mm-hmm.
He kind of wrapped it around,
he's
right?
He's so good at that stuff.
Dude, that was so, so nasty. Let's see here. There was someone saying... Oh, why not? Why doesn't Fox just sit? Let's see here. Damn.
Didn't we talk about that?
Yeah. That's my bad.
That's okay.
I shouldn't even try to read it. Both hands injured, and some people still think it's a good idea for him to keep playing. Oh, yeah. Someone was asking about, like, he should just rest it. I think the problem is, like, the pinky, I don't know. Like, I don't know if the pinky's going to get better, and maybe getting better is, you know, not allowing it to get hit for a couple of weeks. the thumb, I wonder, like, would that just heal on its own?
Mike Bibby's pinky does the same thing. And he's like, look, mine can't do. I'm like, what the hell? How have I not seen this? And then throughout the show, I saw him like doing this. I'm like, are you covering your hands so that, you know, like it's not as ugly on TV? And he's like, no, yeah. No, I don't care. My kids make fun of me all the time.
That's
like,
funny.
Yeah, because your pinky's deformed.
In the chat, Josh Hart is a great rebounder for a size like Jason Kidd and Russ. Someone else also mentioned Josh Hart, 17 rebounds against the Sixers, too. Yeah, he does. I mean,
it's his MO.
That's what
but
he
if
does,
you
man.
Know it's his thing, then like game plan for yeah. it.
Thomas says it's weird because if Fox doesn't play well and we don't perform well, it's kind of like goodbye Fox. If he plays well and we don't play well / make top six, then it's potentially goodbye Fox as well. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot going on with the De'Aaron Fox situation coming up in the offseason, I think. So, yeah. All right, next up for the Sacramento Kings, they play Monday night against the Brooklyn Nets. Morgan, after the Nets won in Sacramento, yes, the Nets did win in Sacramento.
Okay.
The Nets were 7-10. They are 14-32 now.
Ooh.
So they are 7-22 since that time. They made some trades as well. They traded Schroeder. They traded Dorian Finney-Smith.
They have D'Lo.
They got D'Lo, who's killed the Kings in the past. Yes. They have lost 7 in a row and 11 of 12. Does that make you feel better or worse?
No, it doesn't make me feel worse either. And I was looking at their game tonight. They didn't even score 100 points against the Miami Heat. But I felt like, you know, they're still missing a few guys. And, I mean, some guys that are out all the time, too. But at the same time, I feel like we've seen them play hard under Jordy Fernandez, and maybe there's that little extra motivation because it is Jordy's former team, and now it's a different coach.
That's what I was going to go with.
Really?
There's probably a part of him that's like, let me stick it to the team that just fired
my guy,
Mike Brown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, let's go get it. The Nets, during this span where they've lost 7 in a row, by the way, are last in offense. And they're 21st in defense during the span. On the season, they rank 27th in offense and 26th in defense. This is a game. You gotta win. I mean, if they lose to the Nets coming up
on Monday,
it's like it's gonna be like, oh, is this reverting back to what we saw just like a couple of weeks ago?
Hopefully no one gets fired. Yeah. Kidding. But yeah.
What else they do at that point, you know?
No, no, but it's true.
Slampson.
But no.
Can you coach?
When adversity, that is when, like, right now, dropping two against two good teams, figure it out. But if you drop another one against the Nets, yeah, the adversity is coming back. The honeymoon phase will feel over, but how do you respond to that kind of darkness? And that's what I'd be curious to see.
Well, the Kings will be off tomorrow. Here's the good news. If you're looking for some good news as a Kings fan, you play the Nets coming up, mm-hmm. which you should feel okay about. Mm-hmm. The team is staying in New York. There's no travel. They have a day off tomorrow. Take a breath. They just went through a stretch where they played 3 games in 4 nights in 3 different cities. Sacramento, Denver, and then New York. Not the easiest stretch of games. Right, you beat Golden State. Next night, you go to Denver. I was listening to Malik Monk after the game talking about the elevation. Mm-hmm. And I felt bad for some of my reaction after that game after because I'm like, dude, who cares about the elevation? You find a way. You got to lock in, blah, blah, blah. Malik Monk said at one point he felt like he had asthma.
I would love for you to play in that elevation.
Okay, you say it like you have. Have you played in Denver?
I haven't played in Denver, but what is like, I guess, is... Is different elevation screw with you? Because I've had...
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been to Tahoe, and like if you're hiking, you go, shit,
well, no,
I'm breathing a little bit.
I play, like, obviously, like, we've been playing in, like, what, Reno? Is Reno, like...
Okay, let's see what Reno's elevation...
See what Reno
is. Let's laugh at...
Because I'm like, well, because I've played...
Wow, okay, no, Morgan, Reno has...
Legit
elevation. 4,505 feet.
And I played many AAU tournaments there, right? And I just remember someone talking about it. And
let's play. What is Sacramento's elevation?
Okay.
I have no idea.
What was Reno's?
4,505.
I have no idea. 2,000? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Zero?
26. 26, it says, is the elevation.
Oh, so I was closer with zero.
26 feet.
Wow.
So yeah, you're playing 26, and then you go to So you've played in it.
Yeah. See. Yeah. Wow. You were talking shit. I was telling you I have. I've played all over.
Yeah.
In Reno.
But Malik was like, it's like having asthma, and then you couple that with like, it's just hard to play in Denver. But the second I have a back to back, like, holy shit. Yeah. So that stuff, and then you get your wind a little bit. Yeah. I mean, the other day at the gym, I played at YMCA in Sacramento. The first game I played, I was like, God, I'm a little winded right now.
26.
By game two.
26, bro.
What? 26 feet. Yeah, but I play high. Dude.
I play high.
Really high.
I play above the rim, and I can't even breathe up there.
I'll be honest, I'm playing with a little finger thing right now.
Okay.
And
you're just trying to connect as everyone
Wednesday
right now.
Wednesday when I played a gym really good, someone fired a pass at me. Like, what? Let's settle down, all right? Like, what are we doing here? No, it was just like an insanely inaccurate and hard pass. Jammed my finger. Hurt pretty bad. Kept playing, dog. Then the next time I played, which was yesterday, I played for almost 2 hours. Great times. And right after, I'm like, oh, my finger kind of hurts. Didn't even notice in the game. First team, all dog. Barking. I had some guy go, God, you have energy like you're a teenager.
Do you realize you just spent a minute and a half talking about yourself and playing basketball? Like,
you put me on.
That's such a mid-30 man thing to do.
Look at me.
Don't point.
Look at me.
Where's your bad finger?
Look at me. It's not my middle finger. Ring. Josh Hart does not get 18 rebounds.
Goodbye.
If I'm on the floor.
We're ending this podcast.
Okay. Final thoughts. Someone in chess saying Sacramento is a valley. We don't have elevation. Wikipedia said elevation of 26 feet. Let's just see. Is Sacramento? Because isn't below sea level though? No, Sacramento has a very low height overall at just 30 feet, but this places it clearly above sea level. It's okay.
It's clearly above sea level.
Yeah. Okay, that's according to one site. I don't know what to believe anymore, man. Anyway, because I've always heard it was below sea level.
I just don't.
We don't have elevation. It's not a factor.
Yeah.
Anyway, final thoughts, Morgan.
Final thought. Go get them on Monday. Go get the Nets.
Go get them.
Okay, so I get my final thought.
Your final
and
thought.
And you can shut the fuck up.
Your final thought is go get them, huh? Wow.
Goodbye.
That's deep shit,
goodbye.
Dude. My final thought was this. Man, what a fun day. This is what I imagined probably in life when I was a young kid wanting to be a broadcaster. I go to San Francisco. I watch the Kings game on my laptop. And then after that, shut that laptop. Close the window. I had the Kings game on, actually. And called a college basketball game. Called my second college basketball game. Dons over San Diego tonight. Not the prettiest game I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Way too many free throws. A lot of missed shots. Pretty ugly.
Yeah.
Still fun to do it.
No, I love that. So. I mean, this was a day of Kings, college, podcast, and tomorrow.
Stockton at 2.
Stockton.
And then we're doing
two?
A members only chat at 6.
Yep.
And then the game Monday. Let's keep it going. Ball is life, you basketball sickos. Mm. Hey, let us know in the comments below. You can always email us, dosomo@gmail.com. How you're feeling about things regarding the Sacramento Kings, anything we missed, or how you're feeling about De'Aaron Fox. Let us know in the comments below. We love you guys so much. Oh, I got to go to bed. All right. But we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. Thanks, basketball sickos. See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know, Deuce and Mo.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.